This is a 2020 Thanksgiving, a special production from The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott. For thousands of families in the U.S., this Thanksgiving will mark the first holiday without a loved one who died from the coronavirus. Mourning, like celebrations, is usually full of rituals, saying goodbye and remembering the life of a person as a community. But the pandemic is changing how people grieve. Jimena Condi reports.
Thanksgiving was Ida Robinson's Super Bowl.
The 1st of November, my mother would go shopping for straight through to New Year's.
That's Ida's daughter, Joanne Robinson.
You know, she would even go down south and get her black walnuts. She gathered rum so she can do her fruitcakes because they would have to soak for 8 weeks. You know, just little things like that.
Ida died this April at the age of 84 from coronavirus complications. Joanne didn't get to say a final goodbye to her mother in the hospital, and she says perhaps it was for the best.
At the last few moments, she was taken off for everything and just was laying in a bed with just her face showing. And, you know, she was sedated. She didn't know anyone was in the room. She couldn't move, couldn't talk, couldn't open her eyes or anything.
Joanne only knows this because the relatives who did get to say goodbye described Ida's final moments and showed her photos. Even if Ida had been awake, Joanne says it's unlikely she would have recognized the relatives who were at her bedside. They were covered head to toe in PPE.
I didn't want that to be our last memories. We have far more better memories than that.
Every now and then, Joanne will play some of the final voicemails Ida left on the answering machine before getting sick. Ida was in her long-term care facility at the time and checking in.
Talk to you later. This is Ida Robinson. Okay. Bye-bye. Oh, this is Ida. This is wondering how y'all was doing.
Joanne tears up every time she hears the voicemails, but she finds some sort of comfort in the messages. With the winter holidays right around the corner, Joanne is trying to find ways to stay upbeat while still feeling close to her mother, who she used to see every week. Still, grieving, like so many things during the pandemic, looks different this year. Joanne's daughter, Diamond Franklin, says she and her mom can't lean on family or church the way they typically would in trying times.
During a time of grief, you usually seek to come together more. Mm-hmm. You seek that and to embrace one another. And it's difficult going through the loss of a loved one at a time where everyone is unfortunately forced to be apart.
This is grief on steroids.
Kathleen O'Hara is a psychotherapist who helps mourning families across the globe. She says there's an added trauma component, which makes the grief brought about by COVID-19 different.
There is fear around the disease itself, how it could have happened. There's the fear of the unknown. There's also the quickness of it. No warning, things like that. So it's grief, but there's a trauma component to it.
Kathleen is no stranger to traumatic grief herself. Her son Aaron was murdered in 1999 when he was 20 years old. But she says that even when faced with extreme hardship and unbearable grief, human beings are adaptable. She says Thanksgiving and the rest of the winter holidays present an opportunity to find new ways to mourn.
Whether it's virtual or the family can get together, whatever it turns out to be, is that we ritualize the passing of our loved one in a new way. We create a new ritual to honor them.
Kathleen says people can't change how the pandemic barred them from making their final goodbyes or going to funeral services, but there are other ways to move forward.
We can tell stories. We can create a video. We can share the good things about their lives. We can laugh. We can cry. We can give thanks.
And even if that sounds all but impossible to grieving families right now, Kathleen has words that might not sound very comforting, but are meant to be. This too shall pass.
Your grief is real and true, and it has to be gone through. There's no way around it. You know, cry, yell, scream, and then know that this will pass. And do create the new rituals that will make your loved one closer to you.
Her birthday was February the 29th.
Joanne's approach to grieving her mother, Ida, has been to remember the positive. Right before Ida's nursing home went on lockdown, Joanne and her daughter, Diamond, took Ida for a big birthday celebration.
She was a leap year baby, so she actually got a chance to have a birthday on her birthday.
Yeah.
And we celebrated, what, 3 weeks in a row.
Joanne says she tries to remember all the restaurants the family took Ida to and all the favorite foods she was able to make for her mom.
She had her chocolate cake like she wanted, her homemade iced tea.
And even though the pandemic limits the size of this year's Thanksgiving feast, Joanne and her daughter Diamond want to honor Ida's memory by making the food she used to love. They won't be going to Philadelphia's famous Reading Terminal Market to get cured meats or cross state lines to get black walnuts. But Diamond says she will attempt to make Ida's famous pineapple cake with coconut flakes and icing.
I myself am not as skilled a cook as my mother and my grandmother, but I do like to help and just watch and witness, because I feel like I'm almost seeing my grandmother cooking through my mother.
And maybe, if Joanne longs for her mother, she might play one of Ida's final messages to the family.
Hello, Joanne. This is your mom. When you get a chance, give me a call. Okay,
bye-bye. That story was reported by Jimena Condi. She's been collecting stories for an obituary project at WHYY that remembers those who have died of coronavirus. Thanksgiving will be different this year in so many ways. We will miss so much. But still, psychologist Jacqueline Mattis says she will remain grateful for what we have.
So I'm thankful for family and friends. I'm thankful for health. I, like many people, have family members and friends who have been touched by COVID. I'm thankful for, in every possible way, the fact that we have healthcare. Right? And I'm an immigrant to the United States. I'm thankful for a nation that I got to enter into by choice, a nation that I love. And, you know, for all of the complicated space that we're in, we're still in a place where we can have certain kinds of conversations and be safe. You know, I'm thankful for the kids in the family who I'm watching grow up. I'm grateful for a lot of things. If you get me talking about gratitude, I'll be here till tomorrow. Like, I'm grateful for eyelashes and for babies with them. Just, we live in a pretty amazing world. We really do.
We do. Well, I feel better just having talked to you. Can I call you again tomorrow?
There are places I remember.
You've been listening to A 2020 Thanksgiving, a special production from The Pulse at WHYY in Philadelphia. You can find our show every week wherever you get your podcasts. Our health and science reporters are Alan Yu, Liz Tung, and Jad Slayman. Charlie Kyer is our engineer. Xavier Lopez is our associate producer. Lindsay Lazarski is our producer. I'm Mike and Scott. Thank you for listening.
Behavioral Health Reporting on the Pulse is supported by the Thomas Scattergood Behavioral Health Foundation, an organization that is committed to thinking, doing, and supporting innovative approaches in integrated healthcare. WHYY's Health and Science Reporting is supported by a generous grant from the Public Health Management Corporation's Public Health Fund. PHMC gladly supports WHYY and its commitment to the production of services that improve our quality of life.